Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
After visiting Guatemala Monday to discuss ways of helping the United States border crisis, Vice President Kamala Harris will be meeting with Mexico's president Tuesday. A Minneapolis couple and their neighbors have filed a lawsuit against the city and its mayor, alleging that both parties have failed to keep residents safe amid a spike in crime over the past year. The lawsuit accuses the city of operating outside a charter that requires a minimum threshold of police officers per citizens in Minneapolis. Crime in Minneapolis continues to rise. Former New York Giants head coach Jim Fassel died Monday night at the age of 71, confirmed by his son John. Fassel suffered a heart attack and died while under sedation at a local hospital in Las Vegas, Nevada, where he lived. He had been experiencing chest pains Monday and was taken to a hospital by a friend. Fassel coached the Giants from 1997 to 2003, winning NFL Coach of the Year in 1997. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Let's get a vaccination update with Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau.
New data from the CDC shows that nearly two-thirds of American adults have received at least one dose of COVID vaccine. But vaccination rates have slowed down dramatically. That is putting at risk reaching President Biden's goal of having 70% of American adults receive at least one dose by July 4th. Dr. Shad Marvasti, Director of Public Health Prevention and Health Promotion at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, tells CBS News that health officials need to engage those that are still waiting and seeing to get a shot. He says those efforts will be needed to meet the president's goal.
Fortunately, there's also a percentage of folks who are kind of having that wait-and-see approach, thinking that we're still in the experimental phase, which we're really not. And those are people that I've encountered, and really I think those are the folks that we really need to focus on in terms of our efforts for education, and promotion of the vaccine to get them to kind of cross over and get vaccinated to protect themselves and protect everyone.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
The origins of the COVID-19 pandemic continue to point towards a lab leak in Wuhan, China. Dr. Stephen Kuei, founder of Atossa Therapeutics on Fox News, explains the virus itself points to a lab leak.
It's the concept of pre-adaption. So in all previous zoonotic infections where they come from nature, nature gives us a break. It jumps to humans, but then human-to-human transmission can't be sustained, and that's a month-to-year process. Here, not only did the first patient get infected and very sick, they were able to transmit it human-to-human. That's never been seen before, and it comes about by training the virus in the laboratory.
Professor Richard Muller of UC Berkeley says American experts were relying on Chinese evidence to base their dismissal of a lab leak theory.
The Chinese said that they had found that it had jumped from bats to humans in that laboratory. Well, given all that, that meant that they had actually, China had done an investigation that basically settled the question. What they didn't know at the time was that China was basically hoping that would turn out to be true. The measurements showed quite different. There were no bats in the Wuhan market, and that's been dismissed. So the very premise on which these scientists wrote their letters was then demolished. But not just that, but a paper had been published by the Chinese showing the genome the genome that they showed didn't show the complete genome, left off the critical part of what we call the double sig.
I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. And boy, I'll tell you, this next story, I should say, it's a book that was written by Monsignor Hilary Franco, Six Popes, A Son of the Church Remembers. A little background here. The title of the book by Monsignor Franco is an engaging memoir and a story only a son can tell, a son not only of the Catholic Church, but also of Italian immigrants. From Belmont, his Bronx neighborhood, Franco rose to work with the highest and most influential figures of the Roman Catholic Church. As you read through the book and you see how he connected through landmark history of the Catholic Church and the popes that he interacted with, I mean, with all due respect, Monsignor, it's like it's Forrest Gump in a way, you know, as the movie showed in Forrest Gump. Is that fair? I mean, this with endearing respect. I don't mean to slight you in any way, but it's just amazing that any one figure could be at the intersection of so many significant movers and shakers and historical landmarks.
Well, Bill, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show. And I have to tell you that, I mean, this book, you know, was not really something that I wanted to do a long time ago. I was asked by so many people to do it, you know. But I postponed until a friend of mine insisted so much. And so this is the my memoirs with these exceptional people, but I have nothing to do. You know, probably was the providence of God that allowed me to be in contact with these tremendous personalities, beginning especially with my mentor and friend, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
As you do know, he was a star on television. We had in the 50s and 60s, we had an audience of kind of a small audience, more or less, you know, your audience, I guess, Bill, about 40 million people, you know.
just a small audience. We would all want such a small audience. But there was no doubt the bishop had an incredible following. What was it about the bishop that drew so many people, in your opinion, Monsignor?
You know, I'll tell you, I lived with, I'm the last surviving member of the household of Bishop Sheen, and I have to tell you that I have seen the humility of this man, even though he was loved by so many people across the globe, I would say, because, you know, 72 bestsellers, you don't get them, you know, like, you know, on a normal way. And but the way he behaved, the way his piety and holiness, I mean, I'm a witness of that, you know, because I lived with this exceptional man. who would be at home with great personalities like the King and Queen of Belgium or actors and actresses that would come for advice, you know, to 109 East 38th Street here in Manhattan. And but also with Victor Anderson, who was a cured leper that had not really had the favor of his family, so to speak, you know. And so the bishop took care of him, you know. Mm-hmm. He had an apartment for him, and every Friday we would have him for dinner at 109 East 38th Street. What I mean is, he was a an incredible personality, and whatever he did, you know, still is part of the scene. I would say, Bill, that he actually put Catholicism on the map of the United States. Remember, up until that time, you know, we had so many difficulties. You know, there was somebody a long time ago, Cicero, who said Historia Magistra Vitae, history is the teacher of life. And yes, I think we should go back and understand more. You know, at that time, let's say back in 1928, there were two candidates for the presidency of the United States. And one was the governor of New York. I mean, this man, simply because he was Catholic, you know, he was not elected, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that was the situation at that time.
Exactly.
And well, here comes this young man, first on radio, like you, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on television. And he has really done such an incredible, impressive job in putting on the map, as I said, Catholicism.
What would you say, in knowing the bishop as you did, what he might express as his greatest accomplishment?
I would say definitely understanding and making people understand how we should embrace the world. It's not only being Catholic that is essential. He was so ecumenical at that time. I love his expression that I always used also for Pope John the 23rd. You know, Bishop Sheen said that he opened his arms and like fleshy columns of Bernini, he embraced the world. Mm. And that's what he did then. We have the Second Vatican Council, as you do know.
Right.
I was with him at the council. I lived with him there, you know, and that's what he did. He opened, you know, that's not only being Catholic. How about being human? That's more important. Mm-hmm. We have a common denominator, Bill, which is humanity. I think we should insist on that.
Yes.
Humanity. And we were created by the same God. I mean, you know, that's our belief, but also
exactly,
not because we are Catholics, but because we are humans.
Yeah, made in God's image. I mean, absolutely precious in his sight is every one of his creation.
That is correct.
Now, if the bishop, if the bishop was here, what would he tell you was his greatest regret?
I'll tell you. You know, he was being a great communicator. He would always, everybody thought that Bishop Sheen, he's so natural on television. But they did not know that he spent 27 hours a week to prepare those 23 minutes. By the way, Bill, we had no commercials, only at the beginning and at the end. Probably the only television show in the history of television that had that. You know,
yes.
But he prepared so that he would communicate. That was really his goal, to communicate something good that might reach the souls of human beings, not only Catholics.
Right.
So that's what he did, communicating, communicate. And that was, he would kind of try to make it so easy and understandable to the people.
Exactly.
What would address its television audience.
Well, even the term of Catholicism, Monsignor, it speaks of universality. And Bishop Sheen understood that it could be ecumenical as well. We're talking with Monsignor Hilary Franco, his new book. We've got more after this.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
After the top of the hour, fresh and independent we are, and we're honored to be visiting with Monsignor Hilary Franco. Six Popes, A Son of the Church Remembers. That's the title of his new book. Incredible. You've got to read this book. You know, what impresses me, Monsignor, about this book especially is that you have so many stories. I wonder how many stories didn't didn't pass the editing process that are in, back in the archives somewhere that could be a follow-up, Six Popes Part Two,
At the end of the book, first of all, I have to tell you I'm very happy that we are number one on the Amazon list of releases.
Good, good.
And the thing is that at the end of the book, I said, well, there are two reasons why there are so many other things and so many other stories that I could say in this book, but I decided not to do it for two reasons. One, because I don't want to annoy my lector. And the other one is that it's better than not being said, being written.
Yes.
So I do have so many other stories, but mm-hmm. it's really a privilege to
right.
follow whatever was the inspiration that was given to me by the good Lord, to write.
Well, you could have used St. John's closing.
Correct.
That if you wrote everything, the books, there would be so many books. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Right. But that's excellent. I did want to talk, you mentioned in the 60s after the Ecumenical Council under Pope John the 23rd, for me as a young Catholic, an altar boy, went through the whole process. I mean, I was still one of the kids, and some of our listeners who were Catholics and went to Catholic school would remember this, because I remember when the priest would come in to all the kindergartners and say, well, how many of you little boys, want to be priest when you grow up? Just about everybody raised their hand, and the nun would come in and ask the girls, how many of you girls want to be nun? Well, they will all raise hands. Well, by the time you got, sixth, eighth grade, freshman in high school, you got less and less hands. And by the time I was in eighth grade, there was only three of us raising hands. But then we get the Ecumenical Council coming into play, and a lot of things changed. We had the Mass of the Vernacular. For me, being an altar boy, learning Latin, yes, exactly. And so then, all this changes, now we have Mass in English, and it took me a while to process that. Suddenly, we weren't mackerel snappers, as we were referred to. Now we could eat meat on Friday, except during the Lenten season. And so a lot of changes. Saints that we had medals that we had bought suddenly were decommissioned.
May I say that John the 23rd, in his famous diary, said once, it's not at the point, we change the gospel. We change our understanding of the gospel. I think that was really beautiful. And as a person who was present as an expert for the American bishops there at the council, I have to tell you that we did a lot.
Yes.
In preparation to that, we had the Nazi Preparatory Commission, then the Preparatory Commission, and finally the Council. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of work,
right.
Done in preparation to that. Especially, you mentioned, that was the first decree, actually mm-hmm. issued by the Council, if you remember.
Yes.
So it was important, but the substance never changes.
Do you think, in retrospect, Monsignor, that maybe it was too much too soon, that maybe it could have been, feathered out a little bit more gently? Because what happened, it seemed like, by the time it got down to the local diocese, they didn't quite, it just wasn't, it wasn't presented in a way like how you and I are talking about right now.
Bill, it's so clear what you just said. Unfortunately, I may just say one thing, which probably will explain everything. Don't forget that the council was done in Latin. There was no simultaneous translations.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say in my books, many of the American bishops, knew only how to say Mass in Latin.
Yes.
So they did not understand, most of the things. So when they came back to their diocese, don't forget, we had 22,526 fathers on the council. But our American bishops, when they came to their diocese, they put themselves in the hands of what they called their experts, but they were not experts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, the confusion ensued. And
right.
that was the problem. That was the big, you are so right, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, should have been done, not so, suddenly, I would say, and that was actually meant by the council not to be done, you know, so immediately and whatever. So it had to be done and explained everything before it was done, you know.
Right.
And that was that was really lucky at that time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it like for you working in the Vatican?
Oh, it was great. You know, it was wonderful. It was a great experience. Actually, in those days, you know, Bill, we priests believed in obedience. So I was first at the Bishop Sheen. I went back to my favorite ministry. I wanted to be in a parish all my life as a priest. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, yes. Or fortunately, whatever, the Lord decided otherwise. So I was sent to Washington, the what we call at that time the apostolic nunciature. I mean, now it's the nunciature. At that time was apostolic delegation, and mm-hmm. then from there, after 2 years, I was called to Rome. And I said it to the then Archbishop, not Cardinal Cook, my bishop. I said, "Well, listen, 2 years, it's fine. I will go for 2 years, you know, to Rome because after the council was needed, and I had been part of the council, so that's why I guess I was called." And he said, fine. But at the end of the 2 years, I came back home, and he said to me, now, it's out of my hands. and I ended up with 26 years in the Vatican.
Wow. See, that's what happens when you're too good. When you're too good, it's just... That's what happens, Monsignor. A couple of quick questions, because we've got about 3 minutes left here. What do you see as far as priests getting married? Is that going
to
happen?
Well, you know, I do have to tell you that some places in God-forsaken countries, you know, probably if a priest is in charge of 100 souls, why not? You know, probably he could, you know, that's all he has to do. In all honesty, Bill, I have to say that in my life, personal life, I did not have time. Definitely, I would not have had time to devote myself to a family. I would have been a horrible father. And I remember some years ago that there was a series of articles published in the Times of London, written by wives of Anglican ministers. And at the end, invariably, they would say, don't marry a minister because you end up by not having a husband.
Yeah.
So what I mean is, it all depends. And certainly in my case, I would have been definitely probably not a good father or a good husband because I would not have had the time to the world. You might say doctors do the same thing. Yes, we all agree. But this is a mission. And
yes.
Something to do, you know, I'm always, every minute, every single moment of my life, I'm a priest. And I have to pray for my the people that ask for my prayers and whatever I do, you know, I'm always at the disposal of the people of God. That was my goal.
Well, I appreciate that very open and honest, you know, answer. Monsignor, as we wrap things up, if you could do us a great honor and bless our audience, you know, with all that we're dealing with in this culture today, if we ever needed to be turning to God, it is for times such as this, isn't it?
I would definitely say so. I would like to bless all the audience, our audience, you know, right now, especially in this program, Bill Martinez, but I like it very much. And I like to use the word used by an unknown, probably saint. She was a Carmelite nun, born in 1880.
15 seconds, Monsignor. Go ahead.
Yes, 1906. And she said, well, you know, good Lord, today, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I know that you have foreseen what will happen
with your songs and stories for soldiers. Veterans tip of the day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the va.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
After visiting Guatemala Monday to discuss ways of helping the United States border crisis, Vice President Kamala Harris will be meeting with Mexico's President Tuesday. A Minneapolis couple and their neighbors have filed a lawsuit against the city and its mayor, alleging that both parties have failed to keep residents safe amid a spike in crime over the past year. The lawsuit accuses the city of operating outside a charter that requires a minimum threshold of police officers per citizens in Minneapolis. Crime in Minneapolis continues to rise. Former New York Giants head coach Jim Fassel died Monday night at the age of 71, confirmed by his son John. Fassel suffered a heart attack and died while under sedation at a local hospital in Las Vegas, Nevada, where he lived. He had been experiencing chest pains Monday and was taken to a hospital by a friend. Fassel coached the Giants from 1997 to 2003, winning NFL Coach of the Year in 1997, USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Sorry we ran out of time here in our conversation with Monsignor Hilary Franco. But again, I highly recommend get your hands on his book, Six Popes, The Son of the Church Remembers. Just fascinating, you know, the stories that he shares with us, his interaction there at the Vatican. You know, he says he's going to go there for a couple years, ends up there 20 years later. And the popes that he served and worked alongside, from Pope John the 23rd, Pope Paul the VI, John Paul the I, John Paul the II, Benedict, and Pope Francis. What a story and a history, and he's right there in the midst of it. As I said, with all due respect, I mean, he's like the Forrest Gump of the Catholic Church with all these different popes at all these critical times. Fascinating stuff. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Mike Novotny joins us now. It's good to have Mike back with us. We're going to be talking about his new book, Pro Every Life. And the question is, are Christians more interested in loving those impacted by abortion or winning the debate? Good question. Pastor Mike, good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. I'm doing great.
Hey, that's a good question that you pose. And we have to understand the answer to that question, you know, really defines whether or not you're pro-relationship or anti-relationship. That it's more of a topic as opposed to, you know, real hearts, real souls, real pain from real people.
Wow. I wish I could rewrite my book, Bill. I kind of like I like how you put that, being pro. Yeah, relationships require an investment of time and energy and resources and dollars. And kind of as I look back on my own Christian story, I wonder, you know, if the way I voted was the extent of the love that I had for people in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the more I pastored people and learned about the reasons that many people get an abortion, even within the church, even among Christians,
mm-hmm.
it just reminded me, wow, that there is a lot of sacrifice required of me and brothers and sisters in the faith to do something about this really pressing issue in our culture.
Exactly. Well, Mike, you know, the metamorphosis that you've gone through is similar to what I went through in coming back to the radio. I mean, when I was behind the microphone during my youthful years, as a disc jockey in Los Angeles, I was a juvenile delinquent. I mean, you know, and got away from the microphone, ran radio stations, and went to Bible college. And then there was this kind of urging to get back behind the microphone. And I just said to God, look, I don't want to go and just play games here. You know, if this is really what you want me to do, what I sense that the culture needs is really an infusion of truth, a reconnection, a relationship with you. If you want me to come back, then that's what I believe. You know, I may be a bit arrogant in trying to dictate to you my terms. It's really not my terms. It's just that I just based on what you've brought me to, this is what I see happening. And so the show and what we do, we try to bless people in such a way, as my old mentor would say to me, and this was in the secular world in my radio days in Los Angeles, as a disc jockey and as a radio personality, he would say, your number one job is to elicit a positive emotional response. And that was powerful for me. I said, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Now, when you put that through the filter of God's word, boy, that adds a dimension that's extremely powerful. And that has been my goal, my objective with this radio show, with the people that we bring on the show, that they be a blessing, that they would, you know, bless our audience so that our audience could go forth and bless them. But understand that clearly all this is anchored in the Word of God from a biblical worldview.
Yeah, that's well said. You know, truth can, like in Revelation, what comes out of Jesus' mouth is a sharp double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. So, you know, truth can cut deep and it can challenge us and convict us. But I like how you said that. At the end of the day, the goal is not just to drop truth bombs or make doctrinal statements.
Right.
It's really to expose sin, to lead people to something better. And, wow, yeah, when we lead with grace and forgiveness and compassion and love and take the time, as I try to explore in this book, to really know what people are going through and how in, you know, small ways, you don't need to be a pastor, don't need to be a radio host. Like we all right. can do something that's beautiful that can help someone through maybe one of the most challenging seasons of life they've ever been in.
Yeah, it's not about winning the debate. You know, like you said, Mike, I had this one gal. I always ask people who have been married for a long time, you know, what's your secret? You know, how are you married, you know, for so long? In this particular case, this gal had been married 63 years. And she goes, oh, Sonny, she goes, I learned a long time ago, it's better to be loved than to be right.
Oh.
Let that sit.
If my wife is listening right now, she's probably putting something in the comment section.
Yeah, right. Well, fine and well. Well, I'll let you preach that on Sunday, so you can have it. But that's really the sum total, in a sense, of the gospel, right? The gospel message. It's about us being loved. Loving, being loved, and it's not about right. If you think it's about right, then all of a sudden you have reduced the eternal to a temporal level.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Not to put what's right or wrong to the side. That matters so much to Jesus. But if that's where it stops, like I've been faithful to the word because I said what is true, and I'm going to go back to kind of a convenient Christianity instead of getting in the trenches with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, not just right. Let's do more than right. And let's live righteous lives to give people a glimpse of God's heart and his love.
See, and this is the thing, the multi dimensions of God. We're just so satisfied at a lower level, and there's still yet such a higher calling. This is what I've been experiencing, Mike, which is, you know, that it's that stuff that wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just saying, oh God, you know, for a moment I thought I was close, but what I've realized is I'm so far away yet. You know, it's not like a measurement device. It's just that, you know, you want to honor God in all you think, do and say. And, you know, for those moments when you think, OK, maybe I'm getting there. You know, it's just the more you understand about God's love, you just realize just how far away. It's kind of like, you know, like you say in your book, it's not about debating Roe v. Wade or the politics of abortion or pro-choice advocates. You know, it's about people who have been affected, and this is why this groundswell, it's organic. This groundswell that's going on right now that's freaking out the abortionists and the industry, And they think that, look, if they turn it into law, that that's going to make all the difference. We have been living with Roe v. Wade because of a decision by the Supreme Court. But what is really grieving people, you know, and I share this with people all the time to get them to understand, is I will talk with women who have experienced abortions, and, Mike, it breaks your heart, because they say to me, they go, Bill, you know, my child would have been 7 today. You know, my child would have been 13. And in fact, I had interviewed the director for the movie, Roe v. Wade, and this was at NRB a couple years back in Anaheim, California, and Nick Loeb, and, you know, and I'm kind of looking at my computer and my notes and thinking about, you know, hearing what he's saying and this sort of deal, and I just related this story to him about women voluntarily telling me how old their children would have been. And I look up and I see tears rolling down his face, and he looks at me and he goes, Bill, you know, my son would have been 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your heart breaks for people who have come to that reality that, first of all, we've sinned against God. Secondly, the consequences. That child is not celebrating with the rest of the family. That child missed graduations, you know, missed... addition to the family, jokes, things that would cut up, irritations, whatever, that the child's life would have meant for that family is no more. And the grief the women and now an increasing number of men, Mike, are feeling and expressing, saying, this child is no more. And I will carry that with me till the day I die. I say for men that it's kind of the yet-to-be-heard scream of the male version of Rachel that we're about to hear. What do you think? We got about 40 seconds left on this side of the break.
Yeah, I would say to people who feel those emotions, like when Jesus came bursting into the world, he reached out to people just like that with regret, with shame, who couldn't stop thinking about choices they had made in the past. So, yeah, even before we get to that break, I would just want to know, it is serious, it has consequences, but thank God that the love of Jesus goes there too.
Amen. The blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is more than enough. And we need to understand that. This is why he came. If it wasn't for that, then it was unnecessary.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Do you have high blood pressure or diabetes? Are you over the age of 65 and covered by Medicare? Then pay close attention to this message. Medicare has introduced some new benefits to help consumers during these cautious COVID-19 times. They realize many of you don't want to leave your home to visit a doctor. So now you can get a remote patient monitoring device shipped to your home at little or no cost to you. Now your doctor can identify your problems in real time, which could potentially save your life. Victory Medical can easily ship this monitoring device directly to your home at little or no cost to you. If you have high blood pressure or diabetes and you're covered by Medicare, make this free call right now to see if you qualify for a new remote patient monitoring device. Call now.
800-282-5112. 800-282-5112. 800-282-5112. That's 800-282-5112.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Quit looking for it. Go be it. You know, go be a revival of one. Why not? 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Mike Novotny is with us, pastor at the Core. This is a church in downtown Appleton, Wisconsin. For some reason, you know, God is bringing me into the orbit of a lot of cheese people here, Mike. I mean, you know, I had Aunt Lori Butler on last week, you know, the former NFL great. And we were talking about all the process that, you know, to be a, you know, a cheese scientist, you know, to be able to put cheese together, it's like 13 years. I mean, it's quite a process of tutelage, apprenticeship, and everything else. I mean, you just don't come to Wisconsin and just think you can make cheese like that. You've got to pay your dues, right?
I got to say, Bill, when I came on to talk about abortion, I didn't think I'd be having an in-depth discussion about cheese making, but yes.
We
are serious about cheese. When I step back and think about how much dairy we consume on a daily basis in my home, like what you say down there in Florida, it's not untrue.
Yes. Well, we appreciate that. And I'm telling you, I'm being drawn to Wisconsin. I mean, everybody's, you know, all the cheese heads are coming up and I'm just saying, hey, look, let's share a little bit here. You know, we'll bring a little toast, a little cheese and crackers, some, you know, good apples, good tasting apples, you know, and, hey, we'll mix and match and have a great time. Why not? You know, so.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but good fun. You know, getting back to your book, you know, congratulations on the book and addressing something that is so needful because, as I said, right now this culture is in the middle of responding to Roe v. Wade. I mean, the Supreme Court is being challenged every time there's an opportunity for a new Chief Justice. It all comes to that point in this issue about abortion, and it looks like the Supreme Court is finally, maybe, you know, addressing this, but you know, what I see happening, as I said earlier, at the ground floor level, which is quite organic, and this is in response to people who have experienced abortion, said, okay, we'll accept what the, you know, what the Supreme Court has said. They've given the good housekeeping seal of approval on abortion. And here all these years later, especially with this new technology and movies like Unplanned that have come before us and the reality of abortion, you know, people are realizing, going, well, no, there's something more to this because they told me it was just like a little tumor being extracted. But if that's the case, why am I so connected? Why is the pain so deep and continuous if it was something as meaningless as just, you know, a little bit of cancer
or an annoying, tumor that needed to be taken out of my body. Why am I feeling this way?
Yeah. In the first part of the book, I really explore that. Like there's five kind of prevailing ideas about when life begins: conception, birth, when you can recognize the baby in the womb, when it can live outside the womb, and when a mother desires it. And just kind of breaking that down logically and especially biblically, you know, you start to see that, wow, that there is something more than a clump of tissue in a mother's body. As the Bible says, that there's something or someone fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a lot of just denying not just passages, but the scientific evidence of the unique DNA, the unique fingerprints, that little heart that starts to beat. I mean, science has progressed so much that it's just stunning to see life developing in the womb. And I think we feel that. We celebrate it when it's there. And if we try to ignore it, our consciences so often come back to us.
And going back to the Word of God, He says that He knows us before we were born, before He even started to weave us together. I mean, you think about that mm-hmm. God was so intentional about our design, our birth, the God who knows the beginning from the end from the beginning, that deposits into each creation its manifest destiny, so to speak. And who are we to interrupt that process? Now, you're not going to arrive at that consideration and that meditative moment if you're buying into the doctrine of the world. But what we're concerned about is for those men and women who are now realizing, oh, what have I done? Mm, and yeah. And is God's love more than enough to get me through this sin and this shame that I feel for a decision that I made for whatever reason? And I think both of us are here in unity to say, yes, more than enough. But you won't know. You won't know until you take that first step to trust God. And we have a lot of people on a daily basis, Mike, who come forth. And, according to Barna research, roughly, I mean, you can go into, any church across the country and you can mm-hmm. figure about a third of the women there. And we're just talking about women. We're not talking about men, because, again, mm-hmm. we cannot forget. Although, they try to bifurcate and say, well, it's about the women's, reproductive rights. Well, the men, you can't have a reproductive right without a man. I'm sorry. It goes together. And so the sin is complicit and the emotions are complicit. They're tied together. You cannot separate those. And, even though this culture tries to do that. So, everybody has a vested interest. But the fact of the matter is that you look in the pews and you see these men and women that have been involved in abortion, and they're at some level of reality of what they have done. And how painful is that? And how some must feel like hypocrites, as I've heard them say. They'll say, Bill, I feel like a hypocrite. I'm at church and I'm, praying to God and I'm doing this, but I have this sin. And God does not want that, quote unquote, the heaviness of that sin to be, number one, besetting and continuing, because that'll end up tripping you up even much worse, won't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah, I think so. In the book, I kind of break it down into three parts. One is just figuring out when life begins in the womb. Mm-hmm. The final part is the world and politics and voting and how all that works. But actually what personally impacted me the most was the middle part, where I kind of read stories about why people, even within the church, make the choice to get an abortion. And then what can a person like me do about it? Mm-hmm. Just imagine a woman finds out she's pregnant by her abusive boyfriend. And she knows there's a life within her, but she's scared to bring a little child into the same nightmare that she's living in. Mm-hmm. Or she's living hand to mouth. She can barely feed herself. And you see the stats of how much it costs to raise a kid. Or she's addicted to heroin or alcohol, or she's anxious or depressed, or her father and her parents are pushing her, saying, we're not going to support you. Or the church she goes to is just preaching about this sin. And yet, she's so ashamed to talk about it. It's just easier to keep it quiet and forget it. And so I thought about like five or six causes like that and just asked, what can the average follower of Jesus do to help? To save people from poverty, from abusive situations, to help them out of addiction, to remind them of God's grace and forgiveness, to know that they're welcomed, even with an unplanned pregnancy, I might not be able to change the history of Roe v. Wade, and I don't have the single power to push a button and change every political situation, but there is someone right now in my church that I could take a small step and make a real difference that might save them from that choice and the regret and the shame that you're talking about. So that, man, that middle part, if there's people listening or kind of long-time pro-life people, that's what really changed my approach of what I can do in my community and in my church family.
Exactly. Well, and that's the question. With any decision that we would consider, does it promote life or does it harm life? And, you know, because God is life. I mean, the very essence of God is life and love. And if we have a desire to honor God, then, you know, and sometimes we get ourselves in situations. This is the consequence of sin, as you know, Mike. And some of these decisions are much more complicated and much more challenging in relation to the sin that's involved. And an unplanned pregnancy with a screwball mate, yes, though a challenge, but why should that child suffer the consequence for your poor decision, the first poor decision? Do we make a poor decision to complicate it even further? And one that, you know, we need to hear more stories from, you know, those men and women who decided to put their child up for adoption. And, you know, I hear incredible success stories, but it doesn't go without pain. I mean, there is pain and suffering with that decision, you know, as there should be, because that is a consequence of sin, is it not?
Mm. Yeah, there's no way around it. God gives us these rules not to make life painful for us, but to save us from the pain, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that we can, I mean, Christianity is meant for the mess. It's not a country club. Mm-hmm. It's a hospital for the broken.
Right.
And it is a place, I think, of great sacrifice. You know, I think of organ donations and, you know, people giving to help a family member in need. It makes me think of the early church in Acts, where people would sell their homes.
Exactly.
That no one in the church. And that, so a couple of months ago when I preached three messages on abortion, someone literally did that at our church. They said, I just sold my home. I know what to do with the money now. Like, I'm going to help someone in this situation. And I thought, that's the thing. We can't change every election, every Supreme Court decision. But Christians, inspired by God, can do beautiful things just like that.
Yeah. We had a great story this morning. Real quick, here we have 30 seconds left. I'm going to try and get it in. This guy marries this gal, and his ex-wife is in need of a kidney. So 2 days after the wedding, the new wife gives up a kidney to the ex-wife.
Wow.
So that she could live.
Wow.
And there is so much to that story to consider. But you talk about love immeasurable. Boy, that is quite the story. Mike Novotny, thank you so much for being with us. How can people get their hands on your book?
Yeah, just go to timeofgrace.org.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of...